Welcome to the Sisterly Submitted Podcast, dedicated to changing the narrative about dating after 40. If you're interested in candid, unfiltered conversations between men and women, then you found your people. This is the podcast for you.
Host Diane and Dawn, Hopeful Romantics, Changing the Narrative About Love After 40. We're excited to have Dr. Tracy join us again today. Welcome.
Thank you.
So glad to have you again. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the N-word.
Yes.
So everybody throws it around all the time.
Yes.
But we wanted to hear from an expert what narcissism really is and what it isn't.
Sure. I am happy to answer that question. So narcissism is actually a personality trait, kind of like how some people could be confident or some people could be really caring. Everybody has a little bit of narcissism. What that means is that you have a sense of self-worth. You feel good about yourself. You know that you deserve certain things. And people have that on varying degrees. And some people just have a whole lot of it.
Well, welcome back, Dr. Tracy. So excited to have you unpack narcissism, yes. What we're calling the N-word today. Yes. And before we move on, we want to hear a message from our sponsor.
If you were offered the key to unlock the future of your dreams, a life filled with love, prosperity, and pure joy, would you take it? Ruth E. Daniels has developed a plan with the tools you need to unlock the potential within and manifest your dreams. This practical plan, including Daniels' manifesting guide, The Glamorous Life, her book of affirmations, and The Glamorous Life Journal, work in tandem to teach you step by step how to manifest love, wealth, and a life of bliss. Order The Glamorous Life set today and manifest the extraordinary life you deserve.
So Dr. Tracy, we talked a little bit about what today's episode is all about, and it's narcissism. So we want to get a sense of what misconceptions are out there and how can you help debunk some of those misconceptions?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of people just say, oh, he's a narcissist. They're arguing and that's what they're using. They're throwing the term around without realizing that narcissistic personality disorder is a genuine mental health personality disorder and not just someone's selfish or someone was mean to you or someone is self-involved. So that's one thing. Another thing is that true narcissism, narcissistic personality disorder, it's relatively rare. Only 0.5% to 1% of the population would meet criteria for diagnosis of narcissistic personality disorder. So yes, someone may have traits of narcissism. They might be self-involved or they might need a lot of admiration, but that in and of itself does not mean that they are narcissistic.
So if someone is narcissistic, is there a pill? You know, there's a pill for everything. Like, is there medication?
Right.
Like, you are.
Yeah. So the best form of treatment is helping them to learn how to understand the perspectives of other people, to regulate their own emotions so that if they're not necessarily getting their way, they're still going to be okay. And also to be able to recognize and appreciate their own self-worth without needing to rely on other people. Those are some of the things that can be addressed with a therapist who treats narcissism.
Okay, so it's really up to the individual to recognize. And I guess if you are in a relationship, you know, whether it's a family relationship or a romantic relationship, if you recognize these traits that you'll be mentioning throughout this segment, then maybe it's a good idea to get professional help.
Yes. So unfortunately, because that is what is required to improve the quality of your life. A lot of people who have narcissistic personality disorder do not seek treatment because they may not want to acknowledge that something is wrong. But there are definitely benefits once they get to that point where they are okay with seeking treatment. Yeah.
So what are some of the red flags to look out for? Some of the patterns or signs that we might observe in people that we might be in a relationship with?
Yes. So one thing is to understand that there are a few different traits that you can see with someone who has narcissistic personality disorder. Just because someone is always wanting admiration, that does not mean that they meet criteria, right? So remember I said that. So some of the things that you might see is a lot of self-involvement. Some people might be just really mean to other people and belittle other people. Some people might just have a hard time recognizing the impact that their actions are having on other people. And just because that happens once or twice, it doesn't mean that someone's narcissistic. The signs need to be pervasive. They need to be ongoing. You need to be seeing it on a regular basis. And so what that means is it could take a little while if you're dating to realize that something's going on.
So is it usually happening not just to you as your partner, you know, to you as the partner, but it may be the way they treat their siblings or parents or children?
Or the way they talk about their coworkers or a boss. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and this is a little bit off the cards, but I want to find out about when you feel like you have yourself, you know, because it's not just your partner. Sometimes it's you mm-hmm. who like says, I don't want to admit this, but I see some of those things in myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, is that something that there again, you know, we can change with therapy?
And yes,
you know, and I, you know, me personally, I've been to therapy, but you know, I also see signs of that. And I know it's probably, what are some of the other traits that there are besides those that you've already said?
So,
because there's several, right?
Yeah.
to be diagnosed.
Yeah. So remember, narcissism occurs along a spectrum. And we all have a little bit of narcissism, right? Some more than others. Oftentimes we see in people who are very accomplished that those traits are often stronger. And there's a reason for that, right? You've accomplished a lot of things. You're really proud of what you've done. You have high expectations of other people. But that doesn't necessarily make it pathological. What makes it pathological is my personality affecting the quality of the relationships around me, affecting the quality of my life? And if it is, then that would be a reason to get involved with therapy.
Yeah. One of the things, kind of along those same lines, one of the things that was interesting to me was, so you know, eHarmony is supposed to be the dating site that matches you to your perfect match.
Right.
So I went through eHarmony and I met a guy and he was a diagnosed narcissist.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what does that say about me? Like my perfect match is a narcissist. And so I guess I kind of wanted to know, when you attract men that have narcissistic personalities or are actually narcissists, is that because you yourself are attracting who you are, or is it because narcissists attract a certain type of partner and that's kind of who I am?
Good. Yes. Perfect. It could be both. So you might recognize things in this other person that are reminding you of yourself. And so you feel like you have a connection because of those things. Narcissists benefit a lot from being involved with people who are very caregiving, outgoing, will take care of them, will give adoration, and so on. And so that might mean that those are the traits that you have that drew him to you. I don't know that I necessarily think that eHarmony gives you your perfect match. So don't feel offended by it. it. I wasn't sure if I should. I'm like, does that mean I'm a narcissist too? I mean, I don't think I am, but.
No, not necessarily. No. So what advice would you give if you, you know, you're thinking, okay, I started dating this person and, I'm seeing like 6 out of 9, on the scale, the criteria for, he's checking off a lot of boxes, or she, you know, whoever. Do you end the relationship, or what's your advice there?
Yeah. You have to ask yourself a really tough question. Is what I am seeing okay with me? Am I able to feel like I'm thriving in this relationship? And if the answer is yes, then you now have more information to help you to stay in that relationship. If it's not helping you thrive, or if you are feeling small in your relationship, or like you're not being appreciated or not seen, then those are signs that maybe it's not a good fit.
Because narcissists often make you feel bad to make themselves feel good, right?
Well, some of them can. What can also happen with other narcissists is they can give you a lot of attention and love and adoration in the beginning, so that you then give that to them, and then what they were giving to you falls off and you don't get that again. And some people can really struggle with that drop and the loss of the attention that they get from their partner. And so that's something else that can happen. Yeah.
So how does narcissism affect interpersonal relationships, both with your family and even coworkers and things like that?
Yeah, it depends on the traits that the narcissist has. So if they are the type who tries to keep everyone else around them small, belittling them, then of course, people are not going to necessarily want to be around them, right? If they are the type who needs the adoration and all of that, they talk about what they're doing and their successes, and people may give in for a little bit and then not want to continue to do that.
Sure.
So it is possible to have strong connections with someone with narcissism, but it's not necessarily easy. Yeah.
Yeah. So can narcissism be temporary or situational?
So because it's a personality disorder, it's like how, I don't know, some people are just naturally funny and they'll probably be funny for the rest of their lives, right?
Right.
What happens though is if the person with narcissism is able to recognize what their personality is and the effect that it has on other people, if they are intentional about working on it, their personality can improve, the quality of their relationships can improve over time.
I know this is very informative and we're learning all about differentiating narcissism from ego trips.
Yes.
But now it's time to play the game.
Yes.
So, you know, it's always a game whenever you're on our sofa. Mm-hmm. And this time we're going to turn the tables just a little bit and we're going to have Dr. Tracy ask us questions or give us statements about narcissism. And we're going to guess, really, it's a fact or fiction.
All righty. I'll start with you first.
Okay.
Let's see. Narcissists often engage in manipulative behaviors to achieve their goals.
Fact.
That is a fact. Yeah. Let's see. All right. Narcissism can coexist with other mental health conditions such as depression or anxiety.
Fact.
Yes. Also a fact. Narcissists are incapable of forming genuine connections with others.
Hmm. Is that fact?
Nope.
I would say fiction.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. They definitely can have genuine connections with other people.
And according to what you said, especially in the beginning, and then
especially
they cut you
in the
off.
Beginning.
Like, okay.
Well, sometimes they cut you off, but yeah.
It's like their own selfish way of like, I'm going to do these great grand gestures for you.
So, but is that real, though? Or is that just them
is the
manipulating?
Real?
The connections can be real.
Okay.
Yeah, they can genuinely have connections with people. It might not necessarily look like the same way that you connect with other people, sure. but yeah, they can. Yeah. All right. Who's next? Are you next?
Dawn.
Yes. Yeah. Narcissists are completely unaware of their own behavior.
I would say that's a fact.
Oh, fiction.
It is fiction.
Yeah. So sometimes they can have a little awareness. Like the door opens just a little bit. Like, oh, maybe I crossed the line. Maybe that was too much.
Hmm.
But because they have a hard time being introspective, usually that door gets closed very quickly. Yeah, it's difficult to look at. I am going to ask one that's not on the cards.
Okay.
Narcissism comes from difficulties faced in childhood. Fact or fiction?
Ooh. I'll say fact.
I would say fact too.
Like yeah. Fact. Yeah. So emotional trauma in childhood is one of the major causes for narcissism.
Wow.
And that helps me to have empathy for them because you didn't have a great upbringing.
Sure.
And yeah. I could see why that created what has become of you today.
So do they not have any feelings for what they're doing?
They definitely have feelings.
Okay.
They may just stuff those feelings down or not recognize what those feelings are.
And the feelings are probably more for themselves. Like they feel sad when somebody has done something to them mm-hmm. and it's, you know.
Versus recognizing someone else's sadness and feeling empathy for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. It's interesting because I had heard the word narcissistic and this was probably 10 plus years ago mm-hmm. that I knew this person. But understanding what it was and having someone actually confide in me that they were a diagnosed narcissist mm-hmm. was interesting because I think most people would hide it,
yeah.
don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it has a negative connotation in society, and so nobody wants to proudly proclaim that they sure. are a narcissist, especially if abandonment from other people has contributed to their narcissism. Mm-hmm. By sharing that openly, they're opening themselves up and being vulnerable to being hurt again.
Right. Is it genetic at all? Could it be inherited or is that?
So we still don't completely understand. Okay. There is some evidence that there may be genetic components. And then there's a one school that's just, nope, your childhood experiences created this, but we don't fully know yet.
And it's interesting. I wonder if siblings, like, are they, because, you know, siblings are all different. They had similar experiences, mm-hmm. but they can come out having different perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's interesting. Like, yeah. I wonder if, you know, one of the narcissists that we know of, you know, the whole country was privileged, you know, to have the leader of, you know, of the free world. You
know, well, we don't know if he's actually been diagnosed,
but he exhibits a lot of those characteristics that you mentioned.
Yeah.
I wonder if, you know, if his siblings, like, do they have similar characteristics?
Yeah. So he has a psychologist in his family. And as far as I can tell, she does not exhibit them.
Okay.
So
is that Miri?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, not necessarily. But do I know of people who are narcissists and their siblings are also narcissistic? Yes, I do.
Interesting.
So do a lot of narcissists like get together? I mean, so, really, like,
I don't
do
know
they
how
marry?
Well.
Do they? They probably wouldn't get along.
Right. Yeah. I don't imagine that they would last very long together because there's a sense of self-absorption mm-hmm. with narcissism. And if you have a whole bunch of self-absorbed people,
right.
who's going to fuel the self-absorption?
Right.
Yeah.
So narcissism needs to be with people who are givers and
yeah,
nurturers
exactly.
and people who want to, you know, make you give you all the attention. You're the star of the relationship
yeah.
and they play the back.
Right. And if you take that as adults and shrink that all the way down, they're basically looking for what they didn't receive growing up.
Here's something very interesting. When Dawn and I were growing up, Dawn wanted to be like a star. She wanted to be a star. So she always wanted to be front and center. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I wanted to be in the background. Mm-hmm. And so I developed a personality that wanted her to be front and center while I was in the back. Yeah. And so maybe that's why I attract people and I'm best with people who are kind of like, want to be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And it like works, you know, because of that. And do you find that you are attracted to guys who also want to be in the spotlight?
I usually like people who are funny and engaging and, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm drawn to the people who are like more front and center, but it doesn't always last, you know, because the fun sometimes fizzles and then you gotta like just be in the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The fun fades.
Yeah.
And then you have to learn how to create fun.
Right.
Yeah. For it to last.
Interesting.
So who won the game?
Good question. I wasn't keeping score.
I did.
It was a tie.
Okay, so Dr. Tracy, what if you do find that you are a narcissist and you want love, you don't want to be abandoned any longer, what, you know, is there hope for love
absolutely.
For someone who has narcissism?
Yeah, absolutely. What you would need to do is connect with someone who understands and can care for those parts of yourself. You would also need to be doing the work yourself so that you do not necessarily sabotage the relationship. But yes, it is possible.
Awesome. Because we definitely want to make sure that everybody has hope and that they continue, for all of our hopeful romantics out there, that they continue to, you know, have hope in finding love after 40 and even younger in this case, younger or older.
Yes.
So before we wrap up, any interesting things happening in the practice? Do you have any projects you're working on or anything you want to promote?
Yeah. So I'm on TikTok. I have so much fun on TikTok. I'm not dancing on TikTok. I refuse. And then my private practice is about to go full time.
Awesome. So congratulations.
Thank you. So TikTok is Healthy Wealthy Roots. And the practice is Pui Consulting, P-O-U-I.
And Dr. Tracy, just for everybody, can you let them know? I know you've talked to us about finances and now you've talked to us about the N-word, but just tell us a little bit about your practice and what other disciplines, what other areas that you specialize in.
Yeah. So I'm a board certified clinical psychologist and a certified financial therapist. And my practice helps professionals and their families to move from surviving to thriving. I have experience working all the way across the age spectrum, from babies all the way to the elderly. And that's what my passion is.
I love that, from surviving to thriving. Because we're so many of us are out here just surviving.
Just
you know,
surviving.
We all live from paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
And, you know, the whole idea of really thriving, because it's not necessarily the amount of money you make, but what you do with the money.
Absolutely.
You know, so I know we talked finances last time, but I love that. And I think it's so important for our community to understand finances and financial responsibility.
Yes.
And
so that we could be financially healthy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And mentally fit.
Yes.
Both those.
Absolutely.
You know, because we definitely want somebody who's both mentally and,
financially fit.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Our hopeful romantics out there.
Right.
This episode was sponsored by Fertile Myrtle Publishing. Get your glamorous life set to manifest love, wealth, and a life of bliss. Available on Amazon.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tracy. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thanks, Dr. Tracy. Check out the next episode next Thursday on YouTube and wherever you enjoy podcasts. See you next time.